Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
It is currently 6:14 on this Friday morning, October 24th, 1 week before Halloween. About 60 degrees if you average your temperatures in the area, going up to 83 today, 84 tomorrow with a 30% chance for showers. Then I think they're thinking the timing on this could be late Saturday, early Sunday, maybe into Sunday afternoon. 70% chance for showers, then highs of 80. Then next week, highs of 82, 81. Then by Wednesday, 75, 70 for a high on Thursday, 70 for a high on Friday, which is Halloween, with lows in the 50s, which means trick-or-treat times could be around 60 degrees or so, which is going to be pretty nice. And then a nice stretch of weather with highs in the lower 70s. Jeff Palermo joins us now to talk about the Saints. LSU taking on Texas A&M, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. How you doing, Jeff?
Hey, Tommy. How you doing?
I'm well, sir. How are you? Tell me what's going on with LSU.
Well, a big development was broken last night on Coach Brian Kelly's show. We know that Tyree Adams is injured with an ankle, and in fact, Coach Brian Kelly said that he had tightrope surgery. So there's a good chance that LSU's starting left tackle is going to miss the rest of the season.
He sure ain't going to play on Saturday night, I'll tell you that.
No, you're right about that. Yeah. So earlier in the week, Brian Kelly made it known that he thought having DJ Chester, who has the ability to play all five spots on the offensive line, he said DJ Chester, who came in to relieve Adams last week, would be your starting tackle against Texas A&M. Well, last night, Brian Kelly on his radio show said that they're going to go with the true freshman, Kerryus Kern. And Kern, if you remember, when Weston Davis suffered a concussion in pregame warmups prior to the Ole Miss game, Kerryus Kern got the start, made mistakes, but he was out there battling. He was physical. There was an intensity about him, and I think it caught the eyes of LSU fans who said, hey, that's kind of what an offensive lineman is supposed to look like. And so I'm not exactly sure the reason why Brian Kelly didn't go into why they're going to go with Kerryus Kern over DJ Chester. It is just interesting that earlier in the week, Brian Kelly said their best five would be DJ Chester on the offensive line, And then last night he said, nope, we're going with Kerryus Kern. So,
but he also talked about physicality earlier in the week too, didn't he, on the offensive line?
And he talked a lot about physicality again last night as well. I mean, you've had former players, you've had fans, you've had media. Everyone has come out and said that this LSU team is just not physical enough. And that's the thing that you saw with Kerryus Kern when he got an opportunity to play against Ole Miss. Again, wasn't perfect out there, made his mistakes, but he had the intention of trying to dominate his opponent or the man that was lining up across from him. And that's just something that we really haven't seen out of this offensive line. So it might be today, it might also because DJ Chester is kind of your swing offensive lineman, meaning if anybody gets hurt on that offensive line, you just plug DJ Chester in there. Now that we know that Tyree Adams is going to miss several weeks, you might as well just put someone out there that you feel like is going to be that's going to play several weeks. Therefore, you know, let's just say there's another offensive lineman that gets hurt. Well, then if you started DJ Chester and then you got to move somebody, you got to replace basically two spots. You'd have to move DJ Chester off of left tackle, put him at guard or center or wherever it might be, and then insert Kerryus Kern. Here, you go with Kerryus Kern, and then again, if somebody goes down, then DJ Chester can fill in on any of those spots.
You know, it's interesting, especially when you look at offensive line play or defensive line play or really anywhere on the field. It's a team sport, but yet there are so many individual battles that take place between cornerbacks and wide receivers, safeties and tight ends, between offensive linemen and defensive linemen, and even linebackers, running backs, linebackers. That in and of itself is something to watch because it's one-on-one. It's almost like a 15-round heavyweight fight where they're going against each other the entire game. Granted, one guy slants here, the other one pulls there, but for the most part, you're lined up against, I don't know, 81 and against 72, and let's see what happens, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, but still, Tommy, if there's a group, if there's a unit that has to work together out of all the different units on the football field, it's the offensive line. Mm-hmm. Those guys have to be in sync, and we have not seen that. They have not been able to develop that, and in fact, when they had four guys that were selected in the NFL draft last year, you could make the argument that as a group, they were not, as a collective group, they were not great. They had some really good individual players, but they were not a great unit. So they have struggled to develop that here during Brian Kelly's time.
That is interesting that you had so many players going to the NFL, but yet there was not the synergy that we there was not, first of all, the cohesiveness that we thought. Secondly, there was certainly not the synergy that we all expected. I guess I was talking more about imposing your will when it comes to the individual battles.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt. And this is a Texas A&M team that is very good on the front seven. They have shown the ability to get after opposing quarterbacks, to get into the backfield. They're one of the top teams in the country when it comes to, in fact, in seven games this season, they got 25 sacks on the year. That is tied for sixth most in the country. And they have one player in particular that LSU fans are going to be watching for and seeing if LSU could somehow stop him, and that's Cassius Howell. He's been a game wrecker here for the Aggies, a senior defensive end. He's got 7.5 sacks this season. So that is the guy that you want to make sure does not ruin LSU's night on Saturday.
He lines up where, Jeff, against?
He's a defensive end, so he's their best edge rusher. He might be the best edge rusher.
Does he go from side to side?
Best rusher in the SEC.
Side to side or not?
Side to side. Well, one of the things they'll also have him go out to do is he will go out in coverage a little bit.
But
not a lot, But he'll be lined up as a defensive end.
Left, right, or it depends.
Well, they flip him around.
That's what I meant. They flip him around. All right, we'll take a break, pick it up, we come back. I want you to compare and contrast Texas A&M with some of the previous LSU opponents and the players, the different positions and the challenges they're going to face. We're talking to Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director, 622 Traffic Now, WWL. 626 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. Jeff, before the break, I asked you to compare and contrast previous LSU opponents and the challenges they may face. May as well start at quarterback, Marcel Reed. Is he any Diego Pavia or not?
Well, again, another terrific athlete that LSU's facing at quarterback. I would say probably the difference between Diego Pavia and Marcel Reed is what we saw from Diego Pavia was his elusiveness in the pocket. I mean, there were several times where LSU had an opportunity to bring him down in the backfield, and he was able to escape. Pavia would go back, drop back to pass. Nobody would be open, and he would create something. I think if we remember that fourth down and one play in the second half where it looked like LSU had him dead to rights, and he eludes the pressure, makes a play, first down. Vanderbilt keeps the drive alive. Marcel Reed's a terrific athlete. We all remember what happened last year. He comes into the game in the second half against LSU. They're down by 10 points. The Tigers are in complete control of the game. He scores three rushing touchdowns. He's developed more as a passer this season. He's got more weapons at the wide receiver position as well. And then, you know, he's got the ability to run the football, too. This is a Texas A&M team that has put up a ton of points this year, and this is a Texas A&M team offensively that has shown that they can go on the road and score 40 or more points. They've been able to do it at Notre Dame. They were able to do it last week at Arkansas. And they're missing one of their top running backs, Le'Veon Moss, who's actually from Baton Rouge, went to Struma High School here in Baton Rouge. He is out. But the big difference, I would say, with this Texas A&M offense compared to a season ago is these two transfer wide receivers that they have in Mario Craver and Casey Concepcion. I mean, both of these guys are big player receivers. They can throw the ball deep. These guys are excellent when it comes to yards after the catch. I mean, Craver's averaging 19 yards a catch. Concepcion, a transfer from North Carolina State, is averaging 15 yards a catch. I think one of the best matchups of this game is these two Texas A&M wide receivers against LSU's cornerbacks. Mansoor Delane is one of the top cornerbacks in the country. P.J. Woodland and D.J. Pickett, the other two cornerbacks for LSU that play a lot, they've been very good. To me, this is the most fun matchup to watch to see who gets the better of it.
Real quick, got a minute left. The Texas A&M defense and Garrett Nussmeier and the LSU offense.
This is a Texas A&M defense that can give up some points. I think the one thing that's so impressive about them is their ability on third down. I mean, this is a crazy stat. I know it's only been three SEC games, but they've allowed opponents to convert just twice on 33 attempts on third down. That's
wow.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So LSU's got to have success tomorrow night on first and second down in order to have a chance to keep drives alive, but they are susceptible to allowing points. So we'll see if LSU can take advantage of that.
You like their chances?
Hey, I got LSU actually winning this game. I just think with their backs up against the wall, there's desperation mode Saturday night in Tiger Stadium. I think LSU figures out a way to get this one, gets the win here. I got LSU winning at 31-26.
I don't know about all that. I think LSU wins, but I think it's going to be a nail biter. We'll see. Thank you, Jeff.
All right, Tommy.
Have a good day. We appreciate it. Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. When we come back, we'll talk to Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member, about the budget fiasco that's going on with the city of New Orleans right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen. All right, 6:45, quarter till 7. Joe and Tommy in the morning. Glad you're with us. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Hey, Tommy. No tie this morning.
Yeah, good. Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member. I say that because he was with us yesterday, but he is, you know, a key player in all of this mess that's going on with the city council and the shortfall and what happened yesterday at the council meeting we'll get to in a second. But I see a copy of this letter here that the CAO sent about GOSEP and FEMA, and the city is not and has not utilized funds advanced for the joint infrastructure recovery request I don't understand what that letter means. Joe, explain that to me, if you will, please, and why he sent it.
Yeah, I think he sent it in response to an article that was published yesterday in the Times-Picayune that said, essentially, the funds between the general fund, which is our tax money, our property taxes, everything, was commingled with money that we get from the federal government. And I guess Joe Threat was worried that that put us at risk with the feds. Mm-hmm. So what the letter is saying is when the city receives in advance on the FEMA work, that JIRR work, it sets a separate account. And then as invoices hit the general fund, so we contract, I'll make this up, with Tucker Construction Company, mm-hmm. and they send us an invoice from the work, then what the city does is move money from the FEMA account into the general fund to pay the invoices.
Does that make sense? It does, but does that clear up or cloudy up how we got from everything's fine in April to where we are now?
Well, that's kind of the part that's head scratching, because you're right. It doesn't clear up, and it I know what they're doing from a technical matter, mm-hmm. because obviously nobody, and I'm including the administration in this, wants to run afoul of federal laws or not saying that we don't have proper controls in place. So I agree with Joe Threat wholeheartedly about that. At the same time, in the general fund, there's not enough cash on hand to make payroll and do other things. So something happens with that. And so it's important to make sure we're absolutely right from a technical legal perspective. But to your point, the relevant question is, well, why is cash flow so bad in the general fund?
And that's the question. Did the money ever go in or not with the cash flow? And if the cash flow is so poor, where how did that happen? Am I missing something here, Joe? I'm trying to stay up with you.
Yeah, no, you're doing a great job. Look, all I think we can have now is supposition at this point, and it's guesswork. Is the guesswork that we paid too much to city personnel and operating, so there wasn't enough in there? Is it that the city was fronting too much money for this FEMA-funded work and was expecting to get reimbursed and didn't? Is it something else that's going on? But the bottom line is, in the general fund, there's not enough money to meet upcoming obligations, particularly to our personnel. So that's the thing that really matters. I want to give Joe credit for making sure that he explains technically, legally, how we're complying with federal law. But at the same time, the issue still remains. We have a cash flow issue, and now we got to solve that.
So let me make an example. If I, for example, were to go to the ATM and find out my account was short $8,000, and it's like, well, that's not what my records show, I would immediately pull my bank statements, go back, sit at the kitchen table, look at all the debits, all the credits, do a, in quotation marks, forensic art audit, as you can do, you know, with your own checking account, but to see what happened, where the mistake was. Has anything like that been done in city government, or will anything like that be done with the city finances? And
another great question. Councilmember Moreno, Mayor-elect Moreno, is in the process of doing that right now.
Okay.
And so she is bringing back the legislative auditor for a couple of different reasons. Number one, to look at the cash flow and what happened with that. And then number two, you may have also seen or heard that Sewage and Water Board allegedly owes the city tens of millions of dollars. She wants a deep dive into Sewage and Water Board's and the city's books about who owes what to whom. So I know we may have thought we were done with the legislative auditor after figuring out the issues with the fund balance, the surplus, but the legislative auditor is coming back to look at exactly at that cash flow issue.
You know Helena Moreno. I call her Helena Mayor Reno, because it just seems like she's the mayor and it goes with Moreno. But boy, I just see her with her hand in her head in her hands and just trying to mull all of this over. Do you think she has any idea what she got a hold of here?
Well, I think she does have an idea.
Understand it. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is,
yeah.
Do you think she realized it was as bad as it is?
Well, it's also a good question, Tommy, because Helena and I were actually talking about this the other day, and I think she looked at me when I had my head in my hands And she said, you know, we're going to get through this. And I said, Helena, I'm not worried about getting through this. I'm worried about what else we don't know.
Right.
And so I think that's the issue. Mm. The other thing too, Tommy.
Hang on a second. I'm going to give you a replay on that. I'm not just worried about this. I'm worried about what else we don't know, because that's thinking like a lawyer, because the average person would think, you know, the presumption is, well, okay, well, that's it. We'll deal with it. But then you don't know if there are more shoes to fall, right?
That's exactly right. And look, when you have a changeover, there's always going to be things, and there's always an inclination to blame the prior administration in front of you. But at the same time, we're dealing with a cash crunch crisis. We're dealing with a fund balance that is reduced. Are there any other things that particularly the next administration, next council need to know about? And then I think the other thing, I've heard Helena say this publicly and privately the last couple of days, it's about urgency now. Mm-hmm. We have to have urgency. So Helena and JP have pushed very hard and working behind the scenes to try to see if the State Bond Commission will meet next week instead of on November 20th, to try again to talk to them and express to them the concerns about cash flow and how we got here, and contacting the federal delegation to see if we can get that FEMA money worked out, to look at the budget for this year to see all the things that need to be amended and fixed and moved around. So for your listeners, I'm watching it on the inside, and Helena's in budget hearings. I know she's outside doing transition work as well to get ready, and she's inside City Hall doing transition work. So she's working like 3 to 4 separate jobs right now in order to try and get things ready for when she starts in early to mid-January.
That blonde hair is going to be gray in a matter of days, I'll tell you that. Real quick, when it comes to the loan, you know, the old thing is you got to prove to a bank you don't need the loan before you can get it. With that being the case, I know the city government is going to be, I guess, bonds backed by the state. I don't know. Take me through that real quick if you can, because you not only do you have to pay back the loan, you got to pay it back with interest. And if the city can't make payroll now, how does a lending institution figure, well, the city's going to have the money in the future to not only pay us back but cover its expenses?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. Obviously, the city or any lender would look at the city's total collateral. So you're talking about the loan. It's not just the money in the bank. It's obviously the city has other assets, mm-hmm. too. So if anything got dire, it could divest itself of those. Another piece, too, is we will be getting more receipts in at the beginning of the year with property taxes and also sales tax, particularly for holiday shopping and November, December tend to hit later in January or February as well. So there is going to be ongoing efforts in that front. And then obviously working with our federal partners to see if we can get the FEMA extension. And then Tommy, too, I think I mentioned this yesterday, there's about $45 million in American Rescue Plan dollars that are unspent. Can we push that money back into the general fund too, to help make up for this cash flow issue?
That would be the feds to determine that?
There are federal rules. As long as we follow the rules, we should be able to do it. So we just need to get that guidance to make sure we're in good shape.
Thank God we got some smart people watching all that. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it as always. Joe Geruso, have a good weekend. New Orleans City Council member. It is 6:55, 5 till 7. It's time for traffic on WWL. Sounds like they're bringing the homecoming court out. Let me hear this. And now, your homecoming queen and king, Ian Osan, joins us now. Talk about Friday Night Lights. High school football fans, get ready. Week 8 of our Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup. How you doing, Ian Osan?
I am doing well, and the good news is the AM signal coming in loud and clear from the Atchafalaya Basin Bridge this morning. So,
is that where you find yourself?
In the western... Yeah, I'm driving out to the Lafayette area today, to Opelousas. I'm emceeing a breast cancer awareness event. So doing that, then coming back tonight to do the prep football roundup. And by the way, if Coach Lou and I are the homecoming king and queen, I may have to borrow your red Bonnie Raitt, the wig, just
sure,
so I can play the part.
Absolutely. I didn't say both of y'all. It just seemed like the music Tim was playing reminded me as though they would, you know, be introducing the homecoming king and queen. Let's talk about where y'all are going. First of all,
I never thought of Bob Marley that way, but it certainly fits.
Do you ever look out at as you're crossing that Atchafalaya Bridge and look out to see if you see any alligators? It's kind of dark now, or light, so maybe you don't. But I was last time I was driving over it. I was looking for alligators.
Every now and again, especially when the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries does their drawdown of the basin, mm-hmm. every now and again you'll see an alligator trying to get some sun under one of the cypress trees there. So, yeah, it's not only is it natural to look, every now and again you'll be surprised.
It's a beautiful drive, I'll tell you that. Tell me where y'all are going to be tonight.
So tonight we're going to be at St. Charles Catholic because they host Bell Chase. This game, for all intents and purposes, is going to set up the District 9 4A championship game either next week or the week after that. Right now it's a three-team race in that district with Archbishop Shaw, Bell Chase, and St. Charles Catholic. St. Charles is literally one play away from being undefeated. 2-3 weeks ago, they lost on the wild final play of their game against St. Charles. St. Charles scored a touchdown on a short passing play that St. Charles nearly broke up. But as fate would have it, St. Charles lost that game by 6 points, their only loss of the year. Bell Chase, meanwhile, is undefeated. And on paper, this should be a blowout for them. They're outscoring their opponents 372-32. That's a 51-5 score average per game. But here's the issue with that. They've not really been challenged because three of their previous opponents are 0-7. The total combined record of all of their opponents, 16-31. Bell Chase, for the first time this season, is going to be challenged against a strong St. Charles team. And those of you who remember St. Charles from last year, you remember they were young, they were inexperienced, finished 4-6. The Comets this year have experience. They're much better. This is going to be a top-notch game. And quite frankly, I think it could be a coin toss. This is going to be a good game that may come down to the final drive and the final play.
Bell Chase is in which division?
They have Bell Chase and St. Charles are both Division II, Class 4A.
Two Class 4A, as is Shaw?
Shaw is, right, and they're all in the same district, District 9 4A. Archbishop Shaw right now is unbeaten in district, as are Bell Chase and St. Charles. So the winner of this game will play Archbishop Shaw, who more than likely is going to win their game tonight against Kennebrew Discovery. Shaw was going to face Bell Chase next week. Shaw gets St. Charles 2 weeks from now. So either next week or week after, we'll be talking about a district title game for the District 9 4A title.
So when do the playoffs start, Ian?
2 weeks from now. We have this week, next week, and the week after. We're in the final 3 weeks of the regular season. And in, 3 weeks from now, we'll be talking playoffs.
Yeah, now Halloween week is usually the last week, right, of regular season?
It typically is, but the way the calendar fell this year, because we started the season about a week later than usual because mm-hmm. of how Labor Day fell, the playoffs are going to start. They're going to start the week after Halloween, or I should say they'll start 2 weeks after Halloween this year, which puts the state championship on schedule for its normal time, which is around December 13th.
Let's talk about Warren Easton and Carr.
Edna Carr, I don't know if there's anybody in the state of Louisiana that can beat him. You put Edna Carr on the field against LSU right now, I think that offense could beat LSU.
Oh, come
this
on.
I'm serious. This team looks like a college squad. They could play Division I ball right now with the kids they have. And there's a reason why you've got John Johnson, rather, their quarterback, who's highly recruited. Why you've got offensive linemen who are highly recruited. Their defense right now, getting some looks from colleges. Carr last week beat Jesuit 41-0. After the first half, Coach Lou and I thought Jesuit might have a chance here. They held Carr to 14 points in the first quarter, in the first half. It was 14-0. Then Carr roared and they scored 30 unanswered in the second half. And that's because Carr played that well. Jesuit did, I think, everything right defensively, or at least as well as they could. Special teams exposed a couple of flaws in Carr's armor. They recovered an onside kick to begin the second half, an ambush-type play. But offensively, Jesuit couldn't do anything against Carr. They were held last week to 96 total yards of offense and only 5 first downs. That's how good Edna Carr's defense is. And Bryce Brown is on record as saying Jesuit's offense is the best they've seen this year. And that's what that defense was able to do. Warren Easton, God bless them. I don't know if they have a chance tonight. They've got a 4-game losing streak coming in, and I highly doubt they break that streak going to Morris Jeff Stadium.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back with Jesuit taking on John Curtis. We're talking to Ian Ozan, co-host of the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup. even if you don't have anybody playing high school football, it brings you back to your high school days just to hear the Friday Night Lights on WWL, and that's what you're going to hear tonight, 720. Traffic now, WWL. Hi, 726, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Friday Night Lights. That's what we put on here on Friday Night. Ian Ozan joins us now, co-host of the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup. Let's talk about Jesuit, who takes on John Curtis tonight.
This is a potential upset special here. Jesuit is facing yet another undefeated team. John Curtis has looked good this year. But Curtis has proven again this year the only team that can beat John Curtis is themselves, because even though they've cleaned it up for the most part, they still commit unforced errors, the occasional turnover, the occasional untimely penalty. And if Jesuit is able to do what they were able to do to Edna Carr last week, and that's make them flinch a time or two, Jesuit can stay in this game. John Curtis is good. They're not Edna Carr good. And I think Jesuit has the talent to be able to pull off the upset here. That said, JT Curtis and his crew still do what they've done for the last 50 years. That's run the ball, drain the clock. So if Jesuit wants an opportunity to win the game, they're going to have to hold on to the ball and hold on to it for their dear life, because as long as John Curtis has possession, they're going to drain the clock and keep Jesuit off the field as much as possible.
What else will you be watching tonight, Ian?
We're going to be watching the Rumble Holy Cross game. That's a Catholic League game. Not so much for the district championship, because both teams are out of it at this point, but more so for power point and playoff positioning. And Rumble, with the win, could probably find themselves in the top 12 of the playoff brackets. On the North Shore, we've got two rivalry games, Salmon and Flagdell and Hammond and Covington. Forget playoffs, forget rankings. When you get North Shore teams, especially in division play, going against each other, it always makes for a good atmosphere and for good games.
Talk about biannual reclassification, if you will.
Yeah, so the LHSAA on Monday released the new classification numbers. Every 2 years, the LHSAA receives the enrollment numbers from every school, and they use that to determine who's class B, C, B, A, AA, AAA, Quad A, 5A, and so on. So this year, the numbers came out, and you had some teams that got shifted around. For example, you have Holy Cross, which plays in 5A, but they're going to be a 4A school next year. They're more than likely going to opt to play upstate in the Catholic League. No problem with that. But you have some other schools, such as St. Charles Catholic, where we'll be tonight. St. Charles this year is a 2A school. They're playing up in 4A. They're going to be listed as a 3A next year. But because of a new rule that LHSAA principals passed in January, if St. Charles wants to play up, they're not going to be able to stay in 4A with Archbishop Shaw, with Bell Chase, in that district where they are now. They're going to be required to play in 5A, because under this new rule, any school, no matter the classification, if the school plays football, if they decide to play up, they have to go to 5A. Doesn't matter if you're 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A. If you want to play above your natural class, you have to play in the top classification. And that's going to create an issue for St. Charles and some other schools. St. Charles, if they opt to play up and they go to 5A, they'll be playing in the Jefferson Parish District more likely, which presents a challenge, because you go there, you're going to dominate that district easily. But in football, you get to the playoffs, you might not get past the first round. But in sports like baseball and softball, they could play 5A and win a state championship in the first year. Now, if you go to 3A, you may get some good competition, but the question there is, do you want to go back down to 3? Do you want to play there and play in a geographically sound district, or do you want to take the challenge of playing 5A? For St. Charles, they'll more than likely go down, play in 3A, and then let the chips fall where they go. So the LHSAA principals have to figure out what they want to do next year, and they've got to figure out whether or not they want to stay in 3, go to 5, and other schools around the state, especially North Louisiana, are going to have that same issue.
Thank you, Ian Ozan. Appreciate it. Drive safely. High school football fans, get ready. Week 8 of our Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup. You can join Ian Ozan and my friend Coach Lou Valden tonight at 7, the most comprehensive high school football show in America. WWL is going to broadcast live from the St. Charles Catholic Bell Chase game, but that's at St. Charles Catholic. Other big games include John Curtis at Jesuit, Rummel at Holy Cross, Hammond at Covington, Easton at Edna Carr, and Salmon at Slidell. And you're ready for Friday Night Lights, Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup, presented by Acadian Companies and Dr. Pepper, tonight, 7 to 10:30, only on WWL. A minute late, time for WWL First News. And for that, we go to Dave Cohen. Today on The Fans and the Pro with Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas, forget the record, Saints vs. Bucks, it's more than a game. You can get Deuce's do's and don'ts for Sunday's NFC South showdown. Plus, he'll get intel on Tampa from J.C. Allen of the Pirate Parlay podcast. Also, Tiger fans, how are you feeling about third-ranked Texas A&M coming to Death Valley? What gives you confidence LSU can upset the Aggies? Then, Pelicans and NBA talk with Antscape ESPN reporter Mark Spears at 6. You can go inside LSU football on the Brian Kelly Show at 6. And then, of course, it's Friday Night Lights, the Manning Family Children's Hospital prep football roundup here on WWL. Jan Moeller joins us now, Executive Director of Invest in Louisiana, to talk about what could happen with SNAP benefits and the government shutdown. Good morning, Jan. How are you?
I'm great, Tommy. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for taking the
technical difficulties.
No worries about that. Tell me about the issue that SNAP recipients could be facing on the 1st and what Jeff Landry, the governor, has already said.
Well, this is a very serious situation. SNAP, of course, is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, the food stamp program. I think until now, most people haven't directly felt the effects of the federal shutdown, unless you work for the federal government or you had a family vacation planned to a national park or something like that. But SNAP, that's the food stamp program. More than 800,000 households in Louisiana rely on these benefits to put food on the table every month.
How many young
was it? More than 800,000 households, so well over a million people get part of their monthly groceries through this program.
And these are not people, hang on a second, I just want to clear this up. These are not people that sit at home and say, you know what, I just don't want to work. I'm going to go to the store and I'm going to get all the ribeye steaks that I want. I'm just trying to, you know, surface the objections here, surface what some people think. And then get the ribeye steaks because the dog will eat the steaks even though you don't let my food stand. These are a lot of working people that need the help from the government because they just don't, a lot of culture bearers, they just don't make enough to pay the bills. Go ahead.
That's exactly right. And the vast majority of these households are working households. And the key word in SNAP is supplemental. It doesn't pay the entire grocery bill. It helps put that food on the table. It's also critical to Louisiana retailers who sell that food to recipients. This is everything from large supermarket chains to neighborhood grocery stores, farmers markets. Well, the White House has announced that no benefits are going to be paid. And the way this program works is the state administers the program and pays half of the administrative costs, but the benefits are all paid by the federal government. And Donald Trump has announced that no benefits are going to be paid starting November 1st. Now, that's not going to the way the program works is these benefits get paid out throughout the month. You know, it's not a stamp. It's a Louisiana purchase card that works like a credit card.
It gets loaded up, right? Electronically?
It gets loaded up. Absolutely. So some people get them loaded up at the beginning of the month, middle of the month, end of the month. So it's not going to hit everybody at once. But the people who are disabled and elderly, people who rely on this program for most of their groceries because they are unable to work, they get their benefits at the beginning of the month. So the very first people who are going to be hurt by this decision that the White House made are the people who are the absolutely most vulnerable. And I want to be clear about one thing. Eventually, if this shutdown continues much longer, the federal government's going to run out of money. But there is money to pay these benefits for at least the beginning, if not most of November. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, which runs this program, has a contingency fund set aside for shutdowns. So this is a choice that the president and Governor Landry made to cut off these benefits to people who need them to put food on the table, presumably because they want to ratchet up the pressure to cut a deal and get this shutdown resolved.
Yeah, and again, what happened to me, my analysis of this is that you got political games being played in Washington between the Democrats and Republicans, and the people that are getting hurt are those that are the least able to defend themselves, which is the way it always works, Jan. You know that. Just paint a picture of it for me, what it would look like for these people in November if those benefits don't get loaded up.
It's going to be tough. Again, you know, it's for many people, it's hard to imagine that families don't have enough money to buy groceries. But we've all been to the grocery store. We've all seen prices of everything going up. So if you are, especially if you're somebody who is elderly or disabled, you're probably living hand to mouth. You probably are thinking right now how you're going to stretch whatever is left on that Louisiana purchase card, because you may not have enough food to eat next month. And again, November is coming up in a week and a day. So this is not a next month crisis. This is a very immediate crisis. And hopefully Washington will get this resolved before it comes to this.
Thank you, Jan. I appreciate your time. I really do. And the only thing I would add is that to make it real for people, you know.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We all have times where we don't go to the store and we keep putting it off for whatever reason, and there's nothing to eat in the house, and it's like, well, we got crackers here, we got a can of this, let's see what that is. But imagine that.
Yeah.
Being your only choice. You don't have the choice of going to the store or not. That's all you have, and you have no other options other than food banks, and then the pressure goes on to them, and their resources are stretched as well. Thank you, Jan Moeller, Executive Director of Invest in Louisiana. 756, traffic now, WWL. 8:16, Saints matter to me. I had the flag at half staff, raised it up yesterday, getting ready for the weekend's game. If they do well, I'll keep it at its 45-degree angle. If not, it goes back to 90 degrees. Mike Dettelier joins us now every Friday with Mike. Is Rouse's Markets Football Friday. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. How you doing, Mike Dettelier?
I'm doing fine. That sounds like a full-time job, you handling that flag.
Well, not. It's only twice a week. Well, maybe... twice a week. Sometimes, hopefully, I don't have to change it if it stays at 45 degrees, but that's what I do.
I
got it at 45 degrees. If they win, if they lose, then I kind of lower it to 90 degrees and it hangs flat. Let's talk about looking at the depth charts as we do. When we talk to Mike on Friday, it's kind of like the old programs that you would get at the Saints games. It would say when the Saints have the ball or when the opposition has the ball, let's talk about the Saints offense against the Tampa Bay defense. What kind of opportunities might Spencer Rattler, the Rattler, have?
Tommy, one of the things the Bucs do really well is run to the perimeter. Mm-hmm. And they got speed. They've been beat up on both sides of the football. But the one thing that stays consistent, no matter who's in there, man, they can run. So if you're going to attack them, you run the football straight at them. If you watch Monday night, there wasn't a lot of get to the edge, it was hit right at them. And Detroit had success. Monday night was just one of those games where sometimes you the buzz saw and sometimes you get caught in the buzz. So they got caught in the buzz saw against Detroit. So the Saints have had difficulties running the football. But I think to attack the Bucs, you got to be able to run the ball. And that becomes harder now without Eric McCoy at center. And you lost Kendra Miller, your backup running back. So it's a great opportunity, certainly for Devin Neal, who I saw play a lot of football at University of Kansas. He's not the biggest or the fastest guy, but, man, he is tough, really good vision-wise. So I suspect the Bucs' deal is, hey, like everybody else, stop Alvin Kamara. Because if you're a defensive coach, every game you try to take away one player, and I think that guy still is Alvin Kamara at this stage.
And that's kind of what the did last week. The help me out. I forgot.
Dennis Allen.
Dennis Allen, yeah, and the Bears did last week.
Yeah, that deal is we're not going to have Kamara set the pace. We're going to set the pace and try to take him out of the game offensively.
Mike, what can you do to get him back in the game then, to use him in a different way, an alternate way?
I would get him more out front as a receiver. Mm-hmm. That to me is the biggest mismatch with him and a linebacker. You got issues if you defensively having to do that because I wouldn't say anybody couldn't cover him, but it's very few that can cover him one-on-one downfield. So that would be it for me. I would try to get him out more to the edge, using him more as a receiver. And if my offensive line can protect, I got to try to hit the deep ball. I got to go after the secondary at the Bucs. That's been the one area where it's average to maybe a tick above, but I would go after their corners.
Tell me about
receivers.
Tell me about Luke Fortner. He's going to be starting at center.
Yes, he will. A guy who's played in the league, former third round pick from Kentucky, was with Jacksonville. They got him late in the preseason. He got his hands full because of who's over the top of him. Vita Vey, all 6 foot, 2.5, and okay, they list him at 350. Come on, he ain't close to that. He's closer to the 365 range.
He's 6'4 in a U-Haul truck is what he is.
Man, Tommy, that's very few guys that you would say he's almost like a freak of nature. But he is, as a human being playing football. I've done this over 40 years. It is rare to see a man that size that can move that quick. And he gets up the field in a flash. And that is his greatest strength and also his greatest weakness. Because he wants to make that play and get in there. And sometimes on a little delay, you can catch him that he wants to get in there so quickly. One of the things he does, and I don't see a lot of defensive tackles do today in the NFL, and that's get under your pads and actually forklift you right back into the lap of a quarterback.
You're talking about a big man that he's forklifting.
And years ago, Jumpy Gathers, who was with the Saints, he was like 6'7", 290 pounds, and that was Jumpy's move to get under your pads and just kind of pick you up and hoist you right back into the lap of a quarterback. If you watch Vita Vey a lot of times, he does almost the exact same thing, a little bit different hit points because, you know, he's not nearly as tall as Jumpy is. But you don't see that done a lot.
You know who else used to do that? Number 81, defensive end for the Saints. Doug Atkins used to do that, did he not?
Doug had a variety of moves. Doug would try to run you over. I remember this was, man, years back. We did a throwback show, Buddy DiLiberto and I, Doug Atkins, was in town to for medical testing for the NFLPA, and that was his deal. All I'm trying to do is run you over, and if I can't run you over, then I'll jump over the top of you or run around you. Now, Doug really went to Tennessee initially on a basketball scholarship. So you're talking about a 6'8" guy that could really leap. And, you know, I didn't get to see, other than maybe film work NFL films have, I didn't see Doug early in his career with the Cleveland Browns and then with the Bears. But I saw him the last three with the Saints. If that was the last three, can you imagine kind of how he played early in his career? He was a little bit more athletic guy, but Doug was one of those guys that he was so strong that he could actually kind of pick you up and then throw you right back into the lap of the quarterback. So for Spencer, and he's been up against Vita Vea before, you get out of there, and you get out of there fast.
All right, let me take a
because
break.
Because he's coming after you.
We'll pick it up. We'll talk about Saints defense against the Bucs offense when we return. Mike Dettelier, our guest, WWL. Traffic now. Quickly back to Mike Dettelier. Every Friday is a Rouse's Supermarket Football Friday. Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. We talk about depth charts and offense versus defense, defense versus offense. Mike, let's talk about the Tampa Bay offense. What's the straw that stirs the drink?
Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
If I had to vote right now, I'd put him as my league MVP.
Wow.
Think about all the injuries they've had, all those fourth quarter comebacks late. Baker's made it work, and they won't have Mike Evans. Looks as though he may miss the entire season with a broken clavicle. Bucky Irvin won't play. Their top running back in this game, he's got a lower body injury that he's still recovering from. And they won't have Chris Godwin in this football game, coming back from a knee injury. And that's been sort of like that all season long. And he's made it work. They have lost three guys up front along the offensive line. And he just finds a way to make it work. It's amazing to watch him. And then having watched him when he first came into the league, how mature he is now, how confident he is. He's always been a bit of a trash talker, and we heard that during the week, so that didn't surprise me none. He did that throughout his college career, but he could back it up. It ain't bragging if you can do it.
It's a division game, so you know Tampa Bay is going to be very tuned in. What can the Saints learn from the Detroit game to use against Tampa Bay on Sunday?
Stop the run. And I think that's what the Bucs want to do. They're going to want to run the football with Rashad White, Sean Tucker. That's what they want to do. Stop the run. It sounds crazy. Have them throw the football. Baker Mayfield threw the football 51 times against the Lions. Tommy, that's the recipe. But can you stop the run? You couldn't last week against the Bears.
Let's hope they do. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate
it. Thank you, brother.
What do you think? You got a prediction or not?
I picked the Bucs to win.
Okay. We'll see.
I just think that, you know, they're the better team right now, and they better at quarterback.
Yep.
Okay. That when it comes down to that, it's somewhat like A&M LSU. Okay, who do you pick? I think it's a close game, but in a maybe sloppy field conditions in Baton Rouge, Marcel Reed can run the football.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
You bet. We'll talk to Press Kabakov when we come back about his city services coalition, about how the next Mayor Moreno, can overhaul the city, especially with these budget challenges that they're facing. Minute late, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen. 8:45, quarter till 9. I have noticed in my career doing this that the people that are the real deal never carry themselves like it. The people that are the wannabes are the ones that have the egos and the demands and this and that and the other thing. And Press Kabakov joins us now, member of the City Services Coalition, HRI Properties. I don't know where to begin with your bio, Press, but it's an honor to talk to you. It really is. And I know I met you the other day, and you are just like a regular guy, but man, you got the skins on the wall. Good morning. How you doing?
Good. I miss our friend Peter Scharf.
Yeah, me too. He's a good guy. Let's talk about what's going on with the city budget, because it seems like when I look at your public opinion analysis that you guys did conducted in December 2024, released in March, it seems as though almost people were reading ahead. Can you imagine what the results would have been given this budget mess?
I don't think they would have changed. I'm concerned about the budget shortfall, like we all are, because that means the new administration is going to have less money to deal with, and it's going to have to fix that problem. But my larger concern, as convener of this City Service Coalition, which has been at it now for almost 3 years, trying to react to a loss of confidence in the public with the delivery of all of our major services. And I think we thought that that was one of the reasons that our population has been cut in half over the last 40 years. People are just saying, I just can't live here. I can't get the services. So our entire focus was on structural reform. How can we assist the next administration in organizing government in such a way so that services can be delivered more effectively? So the concern I have, because this has happened many times before, you have a budget crisis and you have to fix it. Mm-hmm. But you devote all your attention to that and the reform effort, which is the long-term way that you ultimately have an efficient and cost-effective system, gets ignored. So we're doubling down on our recommendation and hope to make it to the transition committees, Moreno's, that what we found over in our research, we interviewed 100 folks, we brought in outstanding mayors from around the country and found that we had really a lack of alignment, coordination, transparency, and accountability. And so all of our major reforms are to address those failings. I'd be glad to go into the more detail, but that's our big picture.
Yeah, I'd like to hear more detail, but I got to ask you first about, you know, when you mentioned the reform, as a just a very successful businessman, when you look at the way the city government has been run, especially with this budget mess that we're hearing about now. And, you know, in April, they got a city council meeting where is everything fine? Yeah, no surprises? No. Okay. Now, all of a sudden, you got this huge deficit. Can you make comparisons to the way you run a government and the way you run a business? Is that practical? And what can Mayor Moreno learn from you as a successful business operator?
Well, you really need to predict what's coming down. It may be that all of, and I've not studied the budget.
Press, if I might interrupt for a second, you got to predict not what's coming down next week, but you got to not only predict what's coming down next week, but 5 years, 10 years, 15 years down the line, right?
Well, you need to do both.
Right.
But from what I understand and I've read in the paper, the prediction on the amount of revenues that they were going to receive was off. The prediction on overhead expenditures was not included in the budgeting process, and they made certain assumptions about funding from FEMA and other that cumulatively have given us $150 to $200 million shortfall. I've just read that, and I anticipate with the national government cutting back on cities, particularly blue cities, we may have substantial budget shortfalls even beyond what we're seeing today. So it's a big, big issue, but my major point is our group is focused on making government more efficient so that in the long term, we can handle that. And obviously in your budget analysis and predictions, as you pointed out, you've got to do a better job on that because it's hard to function on surprise.
Have you spoken with Mayor-elect Moreno at all?
Well, we presented to, we're non-political. Mm-hmm. So we didn't endorse mayors. We didn't want this to proceed to be an effort carrying the water for a particular candidate or a ballot initiative. But we met with all of the candidates for mayor, including Moreno, explaining what we were doing. And the feedback has been remarkably positive. I see that Moreno actually ran a major campaign issue, was she was going to improve city services. There are lots of other things that need to be done, but that was her major emphasis. So we felt like we're on the same page, but we'll find that out as we go through the transition committees with our recommendations.
What would be maybe some of the things that you guys found are top three, top five recommendations, Press?
Well, let me give them to you.
Okay.
One, there was a lack of coordination, and we're recommending two coordinating councils. One on the infrastructure side, which really was modeled on what Hecht and Threat and Montano did for the Super Bowl, where different departments were coming together, thanking them for having them meet and communicate in one room. So the problem with that is that when you don't have a crisis like a Super Bowl or COVID or Katrina, those coordinating efforts seem to go away. So we really are talking about a permanent infrastructure coordinating council that's ongoing. The other is we broke up the city into infrastructure and crime, and we call it justice and safety. And we think that there needs to be a coordinating council, just as we did a couple of years ago when crime spiked so tremendously. The ATF, the state, the FBI came in with the carceral agencies and address that. And we think that needs to be permanent. We have a power base in the city, which are nonprofits that deal with many of the problems in disinvested neighborhoods where most of this crime comes out of. We're recommending that they have a representative at that coordinating council. So obviously you want to get the right people on the bus, and I'm glad to see that Moreno is going for a national search. Maybe we have someone locally pay the right salary to get a CAO that knows how to run businesses. The city is not a business, but the services are.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need someone at that level. So that's one. We also think that if you're going to be accountable, we need to move civil service, the human resource function, which civil service was never designed to handle and is now handling hiring, firing, promotion, setting salaries. We want to move that back into the city, and giving anyone that's an employee that's dissatisfied with the results of the decision the right to appeal to civil service. So that will be a difficult change. But if you want your department heads and your CAO to be accountable, they've got to have a direct relationship with the people that they employ. Go ahead.
We only have a minute left, Preston. I want to get this in. What your business is with HRI, it is...
I have one other major one that I think
Go, please.
On the air.
Go ahead.
The Sewerage and Water Board, came out the worst on surveys, needs to be restructured, and it's a four-headed monster. You've got the state involved, the city involved, the mayor, the council. You've got civil service in the mission. You've got fees instead of millages instead of fees. You've got unaccountable formulaic rate making. We need to have a one-stop shopping organization where we have one hierarchy of accountability. The buck has got to stop there. So we need to restructure that system. That's another big one. Go ahead.
No, I'm done, but I hope you come back because I could pick your brain for like 9 hours, okay?
Glad to do it.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Press Kapikov, bye-bye. Member of the City Services Coalition. We're going to move ahead. It's going to be people like him and Mayor Moreno that help us do it. And I'm optimistic. I really am. Y'all can text me at 504-260-1870. I think there's a big turning point for the city, and unfortunately it's starting on a bad point, but I think it's going to work out long term. 855 traffic now, WWL. It's happy hour, man. Friday, 9 o'clock, we talk about eating and drinking with Ian McNulty, a little table talk. He covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. If y'all got any questions or comments, 504-260-1870 about where to eat, where to drink, what to order, if you're going to a special place to make the most of your experience, etc., et al., and all the other ets. Speaking of etting, here's Ian McNulty. How you doing, Ian?
And then drinking with Tommy Tucker.
And then drinking. There you go. How you been?
With you, my friend.
Great to be with you. What's up with you? Where you been eating? Yeah. What you been doing?
The week flies by, I tell you. You know, that Monday arrives with a lead pipe fall, but then suddenly it's Friday, and I think it was just Friday last that I was talking with Tommy about eating and drinking, and so much has come in between these bookends. I've got some new places to report on for you, brand spanking new restaurants with a first look, but also revisiting some old reliables. And let me just pick it up right there, because you know, I want to talk about the new ones. I got a burger place for you on the West Bank, your neck of the woods, brand new. And I've got a Vietnamese restaurant, unlike anything else I've had at a restaurant, certainly, in New Orleans on St. Claude Avenue. But, you know, with all the excitement of new places, I think really some of the richness of the dining scene here that we enjoy and possibly take for granted is just how many just great, reliable places that we have kind of worked into the landscape of our city and our communities. And part of the joy of living here, frankly, is taking people around and showing them that and being, you know, having guests in town, as I do right now, and seeing the city again through their eyes. And just last night was perfect. We went to see some early music at the Maple Leaf Bar. In the back bar there on Oak Street, they have on Thursday nights a solo piano session in honor of the late, great, troubled, magnificent James Booker, the piano maestro, the Maharaja of the Bayou, as he was called. His legend lives on in the back room there with a solo piano session with everyone just sitting on wood benches and crowded around the doorway, sipping down some beers or cocktails in early evening. And then that wraps up just in time for dinner. And it was right around the corner, and right around the river bend, following the streetcar lines over to Vincent's, where it's a bottle of red, a bottle of white, you know, that Billy Joel romantic crowded bustle of a restaurant that has been there for decades, for generations, really. It's in the second generation of its own family after we lost the late Vincent last year. But his family continues it on. And it's one of those places that has seen, like I say, generations of people come and go, but it's of their customers. You know, they're people who started coming there as children are now bringing their own kids. People who went to Tulane 20 years ago come back and have a meal there when they send their own kids off to college. It's just one of these. Always there, always good, always friendly, always charismatic. You know, it's got that, you're on a table close to a brick wall with bottles of wine on display around you. You order and then just quick, fast, out comes a stuffed melaton. Where else in the world are you getting a stuffed melaton but New Orleans, right? Louisiana. There's all these Parmesan dishes on the menu, but then there's okra Parmesan, just a little bit mixing it up with the South. The cannelloni, of course, the classic there. And just a bowl of pasta with the Bordelaise sauce. And, you know, you've got out-of-town guests, and you have to say, no, there's no Bordeaux wine in this Bordelaise sauce. This is the New Orleans Creole Italian Bordelaise sauce. It's mostly garlic and olive oil and green onion. And it was just a delight. And, you know, it's not the first time, nor shall it be the last, that place just does the trick. So
you're talking about New Orleans or Metairie here?
This is the New Orleans location. Uptown, yeah, okay. This is and that's an interesting thing about Vincent's. Two locations. The Metairie one was actually the first. St. Charles Avenue came a bit later. Both of them similar menu, similar vibe. A little different. You know, the Metairie one is one of those classic hidden gems, just off of a, you know, busy suburban strip, and there it is. Whereas the St. Charles Avenue one is, you know, the streetcars rattling past. Tulane University's Loyola right around the corner. There's Audubon Park. It's right a part of that, just that beautiful neighborhood up there. And
beautiful dining room too, huh?
Yeah, and it's beautiful and fun in a way. You could also describe it as crowded, boisterous, right? And that doesn't sound great off the bat, but sometimes you want that from a restaurant. It's that kind of that healthy bustle. It's a busy place for a reason.
You know what it's like to me? It would be the same as going to an you think at some point you would want an amusement park to yourself, but you really don't, because there'd be no fun, just you there. And the part of the fun of the amusement park is the excitement of the people that are around you, right?
Sure.
The shared excitement.
you come into the restaurant, the game's on at the bar. There's a couple having dinner at the bar. They're shaking martinis back there, even though it would be a little better if they stirred them. But anyway, the dining room always just feels like an Italian supper where another seat has been drawn up to the table. You know, hey, there's always room. There's always room at our house, that kind of a feel. So just a great...
That's a great way of putting it. You know that, like, the aunts and the uncles and everybody's already there, and then you stop by. I say, nah, come on, we got room for you. We'll squeeze in another chair, right?
Exactly the point. Yeah. Exactly it. I want to talk about those two new places I teased.
But, sure.
But first, another old one. Just not anywhere as long-running as Vincent's, but Toops Meadery over by City Park in Mid-City. Isaac and Amanda Toops, their modern Cajun restaurant. People ask me all the time, oh, where's a good Cajun restaurant? Where's good Cajun food in New Orleans? Like, well, get in your car and drive about 2 hours, and you'll be in the heartland for Cajun food. We really don't have a ton of it here in New Orleans, but we do have some. There's Mosquito Supper Club. There's Donald Link's Cochon. And of course, there's Toops, and Toops is it's the modern version. It's the upscale chef getting down to his roots. It's not a bunch of cliches. It's not Boudreaux's fishing camp cuisine kind of thing, but it is that gusto of rustic Louisiana cooking translated into a upscale casual restaurant. And the reason it's on my mind is it just did such a solid when we were coming back from an event. It was a little bit past the normal dinner hour. I think it was 9 o'clock or so. And that's when you start thinking, especially in New Orleans, you know, not the greatest with late night hours anymore. We're in the witching hour here. The restaurants are starting to phase down.
What time was this
really
again?
It was about 9 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah.
On a Saturday, but still, and we were in mid city, you know, we weren't downtown. And then I remembered Toops. They're open till 11 o'clock, certainly on the weekends. Slid into the bar, just two of us, ordered a couple things to share. And it was fantastic, and it was a meal that we couldn't get anywhere else. The centerpiece was the lamb neck over spetzel.
I just saw that on the menu, and I was going to ask you about that.
Oh, it's been on there from the start in one version or another, but this is just a slow-roasted lamb on the bone, and that bone is the neck. Mm. And it falls off, but it also has all this different texture. You know, you want a joint of meat like that to give you different flavors, different textures, different aspects, wherever you come in at it, you know, because that the best meat's always close to the bone, but also it lends itself to different types of meat coming off of there. It's all lamb, but different expressions of it, and the way it's cooked, it's got tender bits, it's got crispy bits, a great sauce, and it all falls into this bed of spetzel. And on the side, broccoli Caesar. So it's not all just meat at Toops Meadery, although it is quite meaty. It is also good for a dish like this, which is, you know, think that zest.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The zing of a Caesar salad, but with the crunch of broccoli. And, you know, it's all about balance in this life, Tommy.
Mm-hmm. I'm also looking at the smoked duck, pumpkin sweet potato puree, cherry bourbon glaze, and pipits. What is P-I-P-I-T-S?
P-I-P-I-P-S. I think that, I'm not seeing that in front of me, but I think that that may be pumpkin seeds. Pepitas?
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe I looked it up. The only thing I could find was a small bird, and I didn't think it was like a turducken or anything they were doing over there. But it must be that.
Would not put that past Isaac Toops, that's for sure. But no, it's a super interesting menu, and there's always something.
Venison loin.
Venison, yeah, we'll do that. I've had elk there. This is what I'm saying. When you look around this restaurant, there's, you know, it's common to go into a restaurant in Louisiana, and you might see some game on the wall or, you know, hunting trophies. Mm. If Isaac Toops, the chef, is there, he can tell you the story about shooting or each one of these animals. Like, this is the real deal kind of place.
This is the greatest, one of the more intriguing, let me put it this way, more intriguing menus I've seen in a long time.
Toops Meadery will never let you down, and they're great folks. And it's up there by City Park. You know, if this nice weather is getting you out to City Park, to the Sculpture Garden, right there. Even it's an upscale place in its ambition and its style, but it has the heart of a neighborhood joint. So it really is easy just to drop in. I mean, I was taking a walk past there for a Saints home game and the Popes, you know, those super fans that you see on TV at the Saints games, they were whooping it up there at 10:30, 11 o'clock, getting ready to go down to the dome. You know, it's that kind of a casual come on in kind of place. You can get a bag of crackling and walk to the park with it if you want, or you can sit down for lamb neck and, you know, loin of venison. But let's skip ahead to those new places.
Tell you what, let me take a break and we'll do it when we come back. All right, take a break. We'll come back, talk about the new places, a Vietnamese place on St. Claude, a burger place on the West Bank. We're underway with Ian McNulty having some table talk on this Friday morning. Got some questions coming in, 504-260-1870. If you got any questions or comment, I'll pass them along. I'll pass them along to Ian. Somebody's looking, Ian, for a new place, any place in New Orleans to get Filipino. I'm going to vet this first before I say it out loud because I don't know if people are playing games or not. Somebody said a new place in Metairie called Yummy, if you've been there, and we'll talk about some more when we return here on WWL. Or at your favorite restaurant where you might run into Ian McNulty, who covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. We talk to him every Friday morning at 9 o'clock, our favorite time of the week, a little table talk. We talk about some restaurants around the area, get some texts that come in looking for stuff. We'll get to those in a second. Let's talk about the burger place on the West Bank, Ian.
Yeah, it's this is called the Drift-In Diner, and it is. You know when you're in a diner, right? And rather than a cafe or a tavern or any other kind of restaurant, it's like you see it. It's the, you know, the bent aluminum around the tables. It's the counter with the swivel stools. It's just the easygoing menu, and that is what this place is. You probably have a vintage nostalgic view of when you say diner, and this is a brand new place that has conjured that up. It's in Algiers Point, in the old historic Old Point, a couple blocks from the ferry landing, amid kind of a grid of streets over there that's increasingly peppered with interesting places to eat and drink. There's a Barracuda taco stand just down the block. There's the new Congregation Coffee is a block away. There's Nighthawk Pizza. There's the old Reliable Dry Dock Cafe where you can get off of the ferry landing. We just go a block or two past that, and you find the Drift Inn. And they just opened maybe a week, 10 days ago, and it is it's just drawn up like a classic diner. It's a short menu to start, but you know, it's your breakfast plate, it's your burger. There's a kids menu, and here's the twist: there's also some pretty nice cocktails. One of the guys who started it up is a longtime longtime pro in the local cocktail scene, and you know, one of these guys you know from the French Quarter, from Cane and Table. He's got a long track record in town. Kurt Stofenol is his name, Kirk, and you know, in a tale much told in New Orleans, people who kind of run in that crowd, the cool guys, eventually they have kids, they have families, and a lot of them end up at Algiers Point. I mean, the joke on Algiers Point is that's where the Bywater goes when they have kids. and so you see a lot of that. There's a lot of, like, you know, hospitality industry people at when they start settling down, they go to Algiers Point, but they're making it their own. And the Drift Inn is just another great example over there. The burger is killer. Okay. It's just a straight up, good old fashioned Americana burger. It's not the monstrous bar burger of the Swamp Room or Beach Corner. It's not the little double stack smash burger that you get from Bubs. It's not your old fashioned Buds or Lee's, but it's a midweight burger with a lot of onions cooked on the griddle together, slice of American cheese, a Martin's potato bun, all napped into a little paper wrapper with shoestring fries on the side. And it's just this little handheld taste of Americana. And then you finish it off with some soft serve ice cream that they're making in-house. And it's just a delight. And the scenery is nice. And it's just a nice little find in the neighborhood and definitely worth seeking out, especially if you're on that side of the river.
Some great shakes too, I'm guessing.
Yeah, they're not doing shakes right now, but they're doing floats. So soft serve floats, and here's the thing: I mentioned the guy was a cocktail whiz, one of the partners in it. Mm-hmm. You can make an adult version of those floats too. So think about an Irish coffee crossed with an ice cream float.
I can do you one better. How about a rum ping pong, a fizzy float inspired by nectar cream? So like a nectar soda you would get from KB back in the day, K&B,
exactly.
But with rum in it.
That's right. Yeah, New Orleans people know the color K&B pink. And that is what that is. Hmm. Yeah, that's one of the things I sampled over there.
Hmm.
They pour it for you into a frozen mug, and it forms this sort of mushroom top of foam coming over the edge.
How many of those did you have?
Well, I take it back. I had the virgin version of that.
Oh, okay.
But I did have the full tilt hurricane fizz, and that was quite nice. If you think hurricanes are just for, sugary alcohol go juice for tourists, they're not. I mean, I do appreciate a Pat O'Brien's hurricane maybe once a year, but the basic recipe is nice, and it can be done on a little more craft basis, and that's what they're doing.
Have you ever had 5 Pat O'Brien's hurricanes?
What is the statute of limitations on self-incrimination, Tommy?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Reason I say that, because if you do, you'll need a one of these plastic scrapers, a putty knife, to get the tongue off the roof of your mouth the next morning.
While we're on the topic, right quick, I was just having this conversation with my visiting guest. The thing about New Orleans, and Pat O'Brien's is a great example of this, the things that we hold up as sort of tourist icons, like, yeah, all the visitors go to Pat O'Brien's. It's legit. Like, that place is legit. Mm-hmm. It's in a 300-year-old former Spanish theater, dripping with architectural details and the sort of transporting feel to it. And if, like, locals, like, plenty of people I know value Pat O'Brien.
I think you'll find as many locals in there as you will tourists, don't you think?
It's a rite of passage kind of place.
Yep.
I especially like the dark little sidebar. And that's the thing. Like, in other cities, this is, like, all fabricated out of spray foam and airbrushed. And, an amusement park coming to town. It's not so. This is legit, like, you know, the bricks of the French Quarter kind of thing. And I love that the doors and entryways are open, and we can go explore these places just over the course of a drink, because it's part of the built heritage of New Orleans, in addition to the hospitality culture. It's a fun place. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that while we were talking hurricanes.
Moving on to Vietnamese places on St. Claude, what you got?
Right. This place, I'm going to slightly mispronounce it, but I promise, Wynn family, I have been working on it. It's Muay. Think of the term Muay, like my in French. That's the way it's spelled.
But not moi.
Yeah,
it's spelled M-O-I.
Yes, M-O-I.
But it's pronounced like the Jewish moi.
Yeah, sort of like that.
Okay.
we'll all work on that.
Sure.
But the thing I love about this.
We'll all work on that. Yes, we'll all work on that, Ian, because apparently neither one of us are close. But go ahead.
I love Vietnamese food, and I fell in love with it through the classics. Pho from Pho Ta Bay, the banh mi sandwiches, you know, the Vietnamese po' boys, the spring rolls. This is sort of the entry level, very accessible. They've become comfort food all across New Orleans, I think. I mean, this is now kind of mainstream New Orleans comfort food. But it's a very rich and deep cuisine. And if you go to restaurants, sometimes you see tables that are ordering things you've never seen before. Gosh, if you go to the Tet Festival or any other Vietnamese kind of community festivals, you see these dishes they're cooking up with these stands. And if you've ever been in an Asian grocery store and you're looking into the cart and wondering, like, what kind of home cooking is going down with that stuff, this is your restaurant. This is the place that is going to take you into home-style Vietnamese cooking. So they don't even have pho on the regular menu. I hear it may be a special soon. But it's we just filled the table with dishes to sample. We're talking tofu stuffed with a meatball braised in tomato sauce, almost like kind of a tropical marinara, just delicious. Caramelized pork and eggs, and then that Vietnamese style of caramelization. We're not talking like sticky sweet dessert caramel, but just cooking everything down so it's sweet, sweetens kind of a sweet and sour flavor, but much more on the savory sour side of things. A fermented shrimp platter that was advised. We were advised this was going to be the one for the boldest palates. We loved it. It's pressed rice noodles with some roasted pork, then bits of pork intestine, and then some fried shrimp kind of molded around sugarcane skewers, and then this deep kind of dank, pungent, fermented shrimp sauce. And you take a little bit of each of those elements, put it in a lettuce cup and pop it in your mouth, and it's just this bundle of flavor. And, you know, I say pork intestines, I can see people getting a little squeamish sometimes, but look, if you like Cajun food, you've had some of this good stuff, and it's sort of a deconstructed version.
I got to get real quick to this question about somebody looking for lumpia, Filipino lumpia. Do you have any idea where they can get that?
Yes, we don't have I don't have a great lead on you for a dedicated Filipino restaurant, which is what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But go to this place, Hot and Soul. It's on Bank Street. It's right next to the Trader Joe's off of Tulane Avenue. Hot and Soul. The chef back there is Filipino. And she's got some of her home cooking on the menu, too. So you'll find adobo and lumpia, which are ultra-crisp egg rolls, and some other good Filipino dishes. Tucked them in amongst Caribbean dishes. They have beef stroganoff on the menu. They have a burger. It's all over the map. But Filipino stuff is definitely a strong point there.
A pleasure as always, Ian McNulty. Go eat some, will you?
I certainly will, and a special shout-out to the Finch family visiting all the way from Bath, England. I will be rejoining them later tonight, and I can't wait to dine with you again. We're headed to Café Degas for a little dining under the fronds and the stars tonight.
There you go. Have a great time. Thank you, sir. At 9:38, 22 till 10, traffic now, WWL. It is 9:45, quarter till 10. I'm going to tell you this about my boy, J.R. How you doing, J.R.?
I'm doing outstanding. Tommy, how you doing?
I am doing all right. I'm going to tell you what. Here's the way it goes. JR tells me what to do, and I do it. Do I understand most of it? Probably not. He has educated me a lot, though, and I do know this, that I initially put up $5,000, and I am now up 40%, and it's been, what, 3 weeks, JR?
3 weeks.
3 weeks, up 40%. Can't beat that. And I know it's not going to be every week, and it's going to go up and it's going to go down, but it's going to consistently go up. I have every faith in that. And you said we were setting the table for this week, right?
It's exactly what we did last week, correct.
And the table's all set, and I'm ready to put the goose on it. Let's talk about let's talk about your business and what it is that you do and what it is that I'm involved with here.
First things first, everyone listening right now in Louisiana, guys, I'm going to give you the winner of this big matchup, 5-2 LSU in Baton Rouge, taking on the 7-0 Texas A&M. This line's 2.5, guys. Don't try to figure it on your own. I'm going to give it to you for free. It's on a recorded line right now, 888-994-6669. That's 888-994-6669. LSU, Texas A&M, absolutely free on a recorded line. When I say no strings attached, guys, No credit card needed. You get it on the recorded line. We're looking for guys, whether you're looking for the free pick or you're serious about making money, make that call. That's 888-9-WIN-NOW. Now, what we do better than anything, and you've been getting a taste of this now, Tommy, is we're not only interested in giving out winners, which you guys already know. I win like crazy, even here on the air. It comes down to strategy. I had a guy yesterday I was talking to who, you know, he's like, well, based on the systematic way you're telling me, you know, on a 6-4 record, I'm only going to be up 2 units. And that's not the case. When I broke it down for him, explained like what you already were a part of this past weekend, Tommy, there are games where we tell you to go a little bit more, stronger play. It's a double unit. And then there's different ways that we also, like this upcoming weekend, I'm going to strategize to make 3 units on 2 games with a rollover. I've got 2 huge matchups for my clientele this weekend. That's it. And you'll be attached to this, Tommy. Normally it's 2 or 3 games on a Saturday, 2-3 games on a Sunday. We like to give out 4, 5, 6 games a week to our biggest clients, and we hit a really high percentage. But this week, and I've been waiting for these 2 matchups, and I've been letting all my clients know all the money we made last week, we're going to put on game 1 on Saturday and roll it on to game 2 on Sunday. So we're going to make a really, call it a mini score in the middle of the season. So do yourselves a favor, start off with this LSU-Texas A&M game. It's absolutely free on the recorded message at 888-994-6669.
You don't do a lot of these silly kind of prop stuff, do you?
You've seen it. First off, there's not enough liquidity in the marketplace to really make that count enough. You know my clients are moving very big money. You can't move big money on these props. And the props are there mainly for these guys that are making the mistake of doing same game parlays or just parlays in general. There's a reason that the sports book is out there barking to you to bet the parlays. It's like you go onto the sports book and all you see, it's like walking into a casino with the machines blinging all over. It's like, hey, bet this parlay. No, bet this parlay. Bet this parlay. There's nothing out there to tell you to bet an individual game. They're telling you to bet the props. Why? Because it makes the sports books money. And we're not here to make the sportsbooks money. We want to take their money and make you money. There's a reason that the sportsbooks can't stand me. That's because we do such a great job not only making money for our clients with the games winning, but the education in which I'm always determined to make sure that they better understand how to attack. So again, guys, 888-994-6669, LSU, Texas A&M on the recorded line.
Talk a little bit more about the money management part of it, because I do understand teasing and this and that and the other thing. You and I have been doing this years and years, and I understand about spreads and money line and totals and this and that and the other thing. But the unit part and all of that, the money management, the margins, the whatever it is, I leave all that up to you, and that's what you do, right? Because you used to be a financial guy.
I am. I have, my history or my background is as an ex-fiduciary. I used to have my own brokerage. I was a very big money manager. I dealt with everybody from the elderly and looking to be conservative and get them dividends all the way to, you know, the young guy who was trying to be aggressive and was a big options trader, which I was a big options trader. And, you know, what I really liked about when we started this, Tommy, was I've never dealt or been interviewed by, and I get interviewed all over the country, but with you, you were green, and I loved the idea of being able to start with somebody like from scratch, where I had to kind of teach you everything.
I knew nothing. I knew nothing.
That's what I mean. Even everything from, I know you had a little understanding of the point spreads, but you really didn't understand this whole sports betting thing as a whole. And,
did not.
You know, you've learned throughout the years, and I think a lot of your listeners have also been able to catch on and listen and, you know, start to learn themselves and educate themselves on these weekly calls that we do. So, yeah, it also brings in a really much better client. I'm looking for, you know, not the degenerate that needs to bet 50 games a week. I want the guy that's serious and would like to make money doing this, treat it as a business. That doesn't mean, you know, sell your stocks and bet on sports. It means whatever little bit of money you are going to be able to play around with to entertain yourself, I'd like to attack the book with and turn that into something really serious. And that's why you're going to be a part of it. I mean, you've already made 40% in just 3 weeks. We didn't even have a great start, but of course, a couple of great games, a couple of great weeks, a couple of big games. All of a sudden, you know, this is what I talk about. I'm a grinder. I'm not looking to make 500% in 3 days. It would be great if I thought I could do it, but I'm realistic. We're chipping away, whether it's 7 to 10% a week or even a minor loss and then a big chunk going towards our bankroll. So you could see everything's going in the right direction. And all that number, guys, 888-9-WIN-NOW, 888-994-6669. LSU, Texas A&M is on the recorded line for free.
You gave us Detroit over the Buccaneers early last week, and it was one of those put your feet up, be comfortable. But you know what? When it comes to discipline, I didn't bet it because you didn't tell me to. I know you gave it out on the air, but I didn't bet it because that's not what you told me to do, so I didn't. What do you got for us this week on the air, JR?
And I, you know, give the game out for free to the masses. I know 90% of the time going into it, it's not a game that I'm going to be using for my upper echelon clients. Listen, these guys pay big money to get those games. It would be unfair for me to give those games out for free on the air and then give it to somebody that paid me huge to get in and get those games. I wouldn't be very happy about it if I was the guy that was, you know, paid to get in and get the best game.
And as a matter of fact, I will add, I wandered off of the farm one time and did it, and JR said, no, don't do that. So go ahead.
No, don't do that. And even though it worked out for
you,
I was okay with it, it just, listen, keep that separate, right?
That's the discipline. That's what I'm saying.
You don't want to throw away money when we're sitting here working so hard.
That's the approach that you take. That's what I'm trying to say. So give me the on-air pick.
Okay, so the Bears are playing the Ravens this week. Obviously, Ravens going to have a much better offense, but they didn't add much to that defense, which has been absolutely awful this year. One of the worst in the history of the NFL. A Bears team that now is scoring more points. Caleb Williamson is just playing better ball, not turning it over, getting rid of the ball fast. I'm going to go with the over in this matchup because I think they're going to be scoring back and forth. It is going to be a slugfest. Both defenses kind of weak, and I believe that the Ravens' offense will be better, obviously, with Lamar at the helm this week, and the Bears will be able to put up points on that defense. That number is the highest on the board right now at 49.5, and don't wait. It's going to go to 50 or 50.5. So get that in now. Go over 49.5 points in the Bears-Ravens free pick.
Take us out, JR.
Guys, it's all money management. It's about the best games on the board. Huge matchup. You guys already know it. Texas A&M coming to Baton Rouge to take on LSU. You're going to get this game for free sitting on the recorded line right now at 888-9-WIN-NOW. That's 888-994-6669. You've been listening to this for a while, guys. Don't wait another week. I'm telling you, we're setting it all up. I've got a huge weekend lined up. Call that number now, 888-994-6669. I love doing this with you, Tommy. I really appreciate what you're doing. And as always, guys, be safe. Have fun. Let's go out there and make some money.
And I'll talk to you tomorrow, and I'll be awake, I promise.
All right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.